ourselves multiplied. The Doppler is an 8-inch hypodermic needle fitted to a humming micro-engine of the professor's own design. The orange liquid in the reservoir glitters and churns, only partly stabilized by the coolant distributed over the glass in a web of vein-like tubes. At the base of the engine is a handle coated in ribbed black rubber, the bicycle grip he picked up at a yard sale for $2. "This helps to ensure precise delivery," Professor Zink explains. "The device is heavy, and it may buck a bit when it's deployed, so you need to keep a firm hold on it." He stands at the head of the dining room table, shirt unbuttoned, while his assistant Song Mi taps her clipboard against her thigh. Normally she'd be taking notes, but the burn on her hand still hurts, and besides, she isn't sure yet where the professor's going with this. He grips the Doppler with both hands and extends his arms before him, aiming the needle at his chest. There's already one scar there, between the second and third ribs. He says, "The doppling fluid must be administered directly into the heart, an inch off the mark, and the results would be disastrous." "Shouldn't someone help with the procedure?" Song Mi asks. "I thought intracardiac injection is recommended for emergencies only." "Every use of the Doppler is an emergency," the professor says, "and it should be self-administered. If you cannot bear to plunge the needle into your own heart, then you have no business using it." The two went to stay for a few weeks at the professor's Hilltown farmhouse. It was a restful period for them both, this retreat from the university. He was on sabbatical, she on academic leave. Twice they took his butter-yellow Volvo to the local co-op farm for supplies. He'd never helped with the labor, but he donated money and parts to keep the farm's one tractor in good repair and received freshly slaughtered pork in return. It was late autumn, so they kept a fire going in the wood stove. He cooked for her while she read, and she did the dishes while he collected kindling. She sewed new buttons onto his jackets after he worried them off. They went for walks by the creek. They reviewed schematics. "Look, I've invented something," Song Mi said. He was at the kitchen table, working on a watercolor of a squirrel skeleton he'd discovered in the garden. He set aside brushes and examined her design. "You've incorporated a shortwave transceiver." "Like you're always saying," she said, "reappropriate the outmoded paradigms as a defense against future obsolescence." "You foresaw the death of the communications infrastructure following the collapse," he said, "but I fail to understand the purpose of these EEC filters." "They're designed to isolate certain patterns."
"And broadcast them?"
The professor hummed doubtfully.
"Not just broadcast them, the transceiver echolocates their companion frequencies. I call it the amoroscope. You can use it to track down lost loves."
The professor sat back in his chair and thought about that. It was clever of her to set him a trap like this, and he liked an assistant who could keep him on his toes. She must have spotted the pictures of Martha around the house.
"We can start work on it tomorrow, if you want," Song Mi added.
He traced a finger over the lines of the diagram and tapped it a few times, forcefully, as though he might somehow punch through to the heart of the matter. Then he snatched up the paper and crumpled it into a ball.
"The future has no use for this thing," he said.